It's funny. The name was the hardest part of the show. We spent months trying to figure it out. We set upon the format of the show pretty quickly. I loved to talk about everything with my friends, and I loved to be able to have wide-ranging conversations, so the format wasn't that hard. The name was, and we ended up with this name for the show. Brent Bachman, who produces the show, he and I were at a mutual friend's wedding, and at the reception, we were talking to a listener. She happened to be the sister of the groom. We told her about our problems with the name and not being able to find one. And over a glass of champagne, she said, "How about you call it It's Been a Minute?" And we said, "Huh, yeah, that's it." So it was very spontaneous at a California wedding a few months ago.
What will you be talking about, and what makes your show a little bit different from the other political shows out there?
Yeah, well, we'll be talking about more than politics, for one. The show's kind of about everything. We have been playing with two formats, and you'll hear both of them in the show that you guys pick up. A large part of the show is a conversation between me and two other journalists about the week that was. And we talk about news headlines and topics, big and small, light and heavy. We also talk to listeners and have our listeners call in and tell us about their weeks as well. So that gives you a good kind of feel of the entire week. And the second part of the show will be me in conversation with newsmakers, artists, authors, filmmakers, all kinds of folks. And that together will give you an hour that feels really, really conversational, really of the moment, but entirely loose, kind of in the way that you would be talking with your friends at happy hour on Friday evening.
So the big topic this week is the NFL protest and President Trump's reaction to them. You know, how will you handle that topic?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll have to talk about it for sure. And the great thing about the show is that we have a few ways to get at it. Usually every week we have a segment called Long Distance, where we talk to a listener out in the world about a bit of news that's affected them. So we've used that segment before to talk to people that have been are recently affected by storms like Hurricane Harvey. We've used that segment just last week to talk with a listener that was involved in some protests in St. Louis. So I could easily see us talking to someone that has felt the effects of these NFL protests firsthand. We also are able to bring in a journalist to the show with all kinds of different expertise. So we might have a sports reporter come on and say, here's what this means in historical context. And I spend a lot of time each week kind of doing my homework to make sure that I'm read in on all the big topics of the week so I can talk about them as well. So there's a few ways to get at it.
So you've talked about everything from migrant workers and, of course, movie reviews. Anything you're keeping your eye on here in Michigan?
I am really interested, particularly in the aftermath of the 2016 election, how both major parties reach out to voters. You know, there was so much attention paid to middle America, to the working class, to white working class voters, and questions raised about who talked to them the right way and appealed to them in the best way after the results of last November. And I'm really interested to see how both parties may or may not tweak their messaging there. You know, I got to travel around a lot covering the campaign, and I heard a bunch of stump speeches. And one of the things that I pretty much know for sure is that the stump speeches we see next go around, they'll be different, and they'll be very different in places like Michigan that are so pivotal to either party's success. So I'll be watching that. I'm also interested to see a lot of the old players that we thought might have gone away at 2016 still being in the mix. You know, Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden and others are already being shortlisted to be players in 2020. And it's just, I find it fascinating. And I think that a lot of the work that they have to do, should they choose to do it, will be done in states like Michigan. So I'll be watching.
So you've studied in San Antonio and graduated from Harvard Kennedy School. You've been in North Carolina, Oregon, Boston, all over the country. How has that experience helped shape what you're putting into this show?
I think that it's helped me try to, wherever I am, look for those commonalities that can connect us in conversation. I'm not going to pretend that, you know, everyone's all the same and we all can just get along if we hold hands. But I do know that there is a way to talk to people that can be kind of universal. And I've been really lucky to be able to live in different places all across the country and just really work on learning how to talk to people and how to try to forge connections with people from all over the place and all political stripes. And that's really a thing that we want to be present in the show. It's not about agreement. It's not about always having consensus, but it's about always trying to have a conversation and to be open and affirming to all different kinds of folks. And we're trying very hard to do that every day. And I've been lucky enough to have some experience all over the place that helps do that.
And one of my favorite parts is the favorite moments of the week.
Each week, we ask listeners to send us a recording of themselves sharing the best thing that happened to them all week.
The best thing that happened to me this week is that my partner celebrated his birthday and 6 months of sobriety in his addiction recovery.
That's awesome.
I was able to rescue a little hummingbird that had injured its wing.
What? Oh my God.
I was able to take my mom skydiving to celebrate her 50th birthday.
Wow.
I finished all of the work to earn my master's in teaching ESL.
Congrats.
How did that come about, and what are some of the favorite things you've heard listeners share?
Yeah, so we have been just gobsmacked by how successful the segment has been and how positive of a force it's been in listeners' lives and in my life and in Brent's life. I'll give you the full story. You probably got to cut it down in post-prod. But I started asking my friends on Facebook to share the best things of their week years ago, and I've been doing it every Friday for years, and I cannot take credit for the idea. Two friends of mine on Facebook, I won't give their full names, but Daniel and Mel, I saw them both doing it simultaneously. I tracked down that Daniel did it first, and Dan told me that he was accompanying a friend to an alumni happy hour for the friend's old college, but Daniel hadn't gone to the college. So he was like, what am I going to do in all these conversations at this alumni happy hour to make sure that they don't figure out that I don't belong here and kick me out? And he said, the one question I'm sure that I can ask that will always get folks to talk is, what's the best thing that happened to you all week? So it started there at this alumni happy hour. He put it on Facebook. Then Mel put it on Facebook. And I saw it and put it on Facebook. And in the planning for the show, a mutual friend of mine said, hey, I wonder if that Facebook thing you do every Friday, would that work on the radio? And I said, I don't know, but we'll try it. And we did, and it's obviously been a hit. And I think why it works is, I guess for a few reasons. One, particularly in the social media space where a lot of us get our news these days, the default is sarcastic, biting, mean, quick, not nice, right? And two, there is this feeling sometimes that when you're lost in the big news of the week, you lose focus on the small wins and the small good things that happen to you on a daily basis. And I think the best things segment gets at both of those things. It is just moments of unbridled goodwill. You know, there's no snark there. It's really, really earnest, which is nice and refreshing. And it takes things down to the micro level and the personal level, which I just think is needed when you're immersed in big, crazy news stories all week. I gotta say, some of the ones that I enjoy the most are the ones with children and animals, but there was also a really touching one from a listener. He had been colorblind his entire life, and he went to the Grand Canyon with some special glasses that allowed him to see color for the first time, and the first time he saw color was at the Grand Canyon. And he records his own voice there in that moment, and you hear him start to well up, and then I'm in the booth and I start to cry, and it just makes you grateful all over again for so much of the great things that we have in our life every day. And even think about it now, I'm like, let me stop before I, you know, get a little choky. But things like that, it's just great. You know, it's just great to be able to remind ourselves that we can be happy and we can have joy and life can be good regardless of the headlines.
Well, thank you for joining us. Sam Sanders is host of It's Been a Minute with Sam Sanders at NPR.
Hey, thank you so much. This was a pleasure.